Get you the Steelix.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon series.
Hold up. Thank you, Alex, for taking over while I've been gone, but this is my podcast, so I will take the reins from here. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast. This week, we have the episodes Bulbasaur the Ambassador and Espeon not included. Just a quick reminder, this is for an E for Explicit Podcast, so listener discretion is advised, and I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, or I guess co-host Alex, right?
I'm not Jacob. That's for dang sure. It's so glad to have you back. It's so nice that you're back. We missed you. I'm glad to give the reins back. Here's your crown.
Heavy is the head that wears it. I can't remember who said that. But other co-host is here looking kind of heavy in the head. Austin, how you doing?
It's a very unflattering angle that the webcam is on me at the moment. Thank you.
I meant just like you were in thought. I didn't mean like...
It looks like I have like full-on boobs at the moment. Like it really does.
Every time you have a camera angled up, Austin, it's always going to be unflattering.
What am I supposed to do? I'm sitting on the damn bed. The laptop's in my lap. The laptop.
Look,
I don't know what else
I don't know.
To do.
Take it up with Jacob. He's the one that started this train a rolling, so.
Y'all know I'm weird looking, so it's fine.
Aren't we all a little weird looking?
Okay, that's actually the weird thing is.
That is the weird thing.
I've learned that the way I look in the mirror is not the way I look to other people, because I'm looking at myself head on in the mirror.
It's flipped.
But I know, but I'm tall. I'm tall-ish, so people who are shorter than me look up at me, and they get that very flattering chin, double chin going on there.
How close are people, like, standing to you that they're, like, looking up your nose holes? Like, nobody's that close.
Do taller people have to trim their nose hairs more, Austin? Is that what you're telling me?
I've had to lately as we've gotten older.
That's just an old man thing.
I know, I'm an old man.
I was really surprised about how far you got to get in there with that thing.
You really do.
Yeah, it's like uncomfortable. It's like a COVID test each time you freaking have to do your nose hairs.
I am so glad that I don't have to do this.
It's coming, Alex. It just hits women later.
Maybe we'll have technology by then that will make it so you don't have to grow any nose hairs anymore.
You could probably burn them.
That's a smart idea. I'll just light a match and stick a match up there. Problem solved.
Oh my God, starting a TikTok trend. This is how I get rid of my nose hairs.
It's the nose hair challenge.
I'm surprised that hasn't already been done. I'm sure somebody's thought of it.
Yeah. I'm a dad. We could talk about that a little bit.
Congratulations, Jacob. I know. Well, we were waiting for you to make that transitional move. How's dad life?
It's hard to tell, really.
What?
Your only answer should be, this is wondrous and magical and I love it.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever done. It's weird. It's a very weird transition. Because I guess I was so... I don't know if I was like... Nobody's ever prepared. But it doesn't... It feels weird. Like, it doesn't feel real yet, but it's still happening.
Well, you made a whole new human being.
You got it now. You gotta go. Yeah, you gotta keep going.
No going back.
Yeah. No. We're gonna finish this. She's gonna be a successful person in life.
Well, she takes initiative, it feels like.
No, she didn't, because she had to be induced. She had to be induced.
Oh, never mind. Well, now that she's out in the world, she wants to see it. She just took a while to get there.
There you go. I guess I expected there to be more change than what there was, if that makes sense. But, like, you know, we still go out to eat and everything, and I thought it was going to be more of, like, I don't know, consuming. But I guess it depends on how much life you've had before you had a baby, if it's consuming or not.
I mean, she's only a newborn, so maybe just wait till, like, she becomes more of a toddler. But maybe she's just going to be, like, an easygoing kid. Maybe it's not so much of a change after all.
Yeah, I expected me to be more anxious with her, too. Like, worry. But now, I don't know, that didn't really hit me. You know, I'm like, making sure everything's okay, but I'm not like 24-7, like, is she okay? Is she okay? You know, like, that could happen, which not, that's not healthy.
That's not helpful to anyone.
No,
overly anxious.
No, but it's awesome. It's kind of in the early stages. So feeding, burping, pooping, peeing, sleeping.
Well, we are happy for you guys. This is very exciting. We got to see her a little bit before we started recording, and she's just a precious angel.
Yeah, who does she look like? Who does she favor more?
Oh, that's a dangerous question.
She looks like herself.
Safe answer.
Every time we go to the doctor, they call her my twin.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Babies' faces are kind of like... I've always heard that young newborns always favor the dad because evolutionarily speaking, it's like, oh, she looks like the dad. So the dads feel more like connected to the babies.
Oh, interesting.
Have you never heard that? I didn't know that.
That's interesting. No.
I've never heard that.
So this is temporary. Is that what you're saying?
It could be. I don't know.
Okay. As long as she looks like Leslie, she'll be all right. You know what I mean?
I think Austin had it right.
Jacob, are you asking for us to tell you? Oh, Jacob, no, you're so good looking.
No, no, I know she needs progeny. To look like... No, it's mainly because I'm a man.
She's going to look like herself, like Austin said.
It's amazing in a month's time how much bigger they get. And it's just, it's only going to go up from there. Hopefully she's got Leslie's height, though. I'm really hoping for that one.
Time goes fast.
And whenever you guys have a kid, we can collect about it.
I don't know. We'll see about that. You may be waiting for a while.
I hate how this sounds like Alex and I are like a couple. Like, oh, we don't know.
I think Austin and I together, but separately, are like, I'm not so sure about this.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with me. How's the podcast been? Has it been going well?
It's been going.
Yeah, it's been fun, actually. Jacob, you need to leave more often. No, I'm kidding. We've had some great people come on. So that was an interesting diversion, but we're back. We're back, baby. All three of us.
Full strength.
Well, I just want to say thanks to all the guest stars. I mean, of course, it's good to have the OGs back, but it was fun to have Christina and Kelsey and Josh and Tristan, our Patreon guest. I mean, that was all great.
Yes, appreciate it. And Tristan, my stories are real. They've been vindicated. I had to throw that out there. Good deal. Good deal. We're back in full swing. Fatherhood. You guys are both the same. That's okay.
We're both the same.
Well, that's not true, Alex.
What happened?
What happened? Whoa.
Actually, Ellen, that's not the truth. Just kidding. Things are exactly the same.
Okay, I'm going to say, I was hopeful there for a second.
Jacob really wants me to change my life. It's okay.
What has happened?
No, I'm not. You both look very, very happy.
Looks
okay, there we're moving on now. Okay. What have you guys done this week?
I am back home after house sitting for a week. Got into a little automobile accident.
Oh, Lord. Rear-ended?
No one's hurt. What?
Did you rear-end someone or someone rear-end you?
I nearly rear-ended someone because there was like a stoplight at the end of a hill, at the bottom of a hill. And there was a sign that indicated there was a stoplight coming up, but it caught me off guard. So I had to swerve off the road. Managed to avoid a fire hydrant, but I did clip a power pole with my side view mirror, so that's gonna be $1,000
to repair the mirror. Oh my god!
Yep. Also, the tire popped.
Yikes!
No.
Yeah, that's already fixed. So I've been like so anxious. I'm like, oh, money! Ever since then, but nothing you can do. That's just life. And actually, I'm kind of proud of myself for like swerving in such a perfect way that I managed to basically not hit anything too critical, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody else.
If there was a person there, oh my god, I'd be living a different life right now.
Jeez.
But I like to think that I would see there was a person there and I would have,
I mean, like a car, like it's better to hit
oh my god, what a nightmare. Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that really is my worst fear.
Well, luckily it didn't happen to that degree. It was fairly tame and everything has been solved,
right, except for my credit card debt. But in any case, what else? I was too afraid to drive in the city, like the more busy areas of the city. I had to have a friend transport me. We basically got scammed to do this a super expensive thing.
Oh, is that the wine thing? The paint?
Yes.
Wine
and paint. It was like a drink and paint and drink
sip
kind of thing.
Sip and stroke.
Sip and stroke. I like that one.
Oh, so my
drink,
God.
You drink lead paint.
It was such a fucking scam. They don't give you drinks. Like, you had to buy drinks.
You couldn't after bring your own. After
already spending $40 to get in.
BYOW, bring your own wine.
I don't think you're allowed to bring in your own.
No. What? You paid people money to go paint and you had to pay for the wine?
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. I mean, it was kind of cool because it was black light. So it was kind of like a rave. Like, the lights were off and they had black lights on and there was, like, music going and stuff. But I thought it was going to be like, okay, everyone, we're all going to be painting this vase or, you know, whatever. No, we literally just go in. They give you a little piece of canvas. They're like, there you go. Paint.
You can paint whatever. Oh.
I was like, that will not do. I need instruction.
Yeah.
And of course, you look around and every single fucking person in there is a goddamn
Picasso.
Accomplished painter. I literally got up and walked around. I was like looking at people's stuff and I was like,
Just stand over their shoulder and make them nervous.
I literally did because I was looking for a, what do you call it? The thing that has shapes and you fill in the shape.
Like a color by numbers? Stencils.
Stencil. I was looking for stencils, because I want to do a fucking circle, and they didn't have any fucking circle stencils.
Well, first you have to draw a life-size head, like a complete, like, life replica of a head, and then you gotta erase some lines, and then you get a circle.
A circle thingy. I ended up trying to, like, imitate a painting they had on display of waves crashing. But the thing is, it looks like shit in regular light and not black light.
Huh. Okay, sure.
So, do you have it with you?
Damn right I do.
Oh, there it is! That's really good!
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool. They don't need black light.
If you turn a black light onto it, it'll, like, glow.
Yeah.
Austin!
It looks cool really without cool. the black light.
Yeah.
Can't see. Can you see the clouds?
They're like, it's like black clouds.
And stars.
And stars with like a green ocean with like orange in it. It's really cool.
Is it nighttime?
Yes, it is, because I got a black canvas.
And you have the ocean orange like the sun's reflecting off? I'm not a critic.
They only have so many paint colors.
I like how Austin's looks really like, cool. really critical about his art, but it's actually like really cool.
I would hang that up.
Yeah, it looks completely different in the black light. Ooh. Like the colors themselves are different. So then I took it out in the sunlight, and it was like, whoa!
That's really cool to me, though, because it looks good without it, and then you turn the black light on, and it's like another effect.
I need to get one of those black light bulbs, if anyone can help me with that. What else? Ah, that's really it.
That's it?
That's exciting. Cool. That's enough excitement for 1 week, I think.
Alex, how are you doing? What's up with you?
I was hoping you wouldn't come to me because I don't know what I'm going to say.
No more parties at 2 a.m.?
That was a month ago, so I'm trying to think of, like, at least for you, like, what would be new. Every day is the same. Same shit, different day. I feel like an old person because today I was driving along, minding my own business, and then all of a sudden this voice started talking to me on Spotify. Because Josh, I don't know if this is like a premium feature or whatever, but Josh was nice enough to add me to his like Spotify premium account, so I don't have any ads anymore, so that's like super awesome. But apparently, I'm like an old person getting introduced to the internet for the first time. I was like in awe. Spotify has like a DJ, like an AI DJ feature.
Ew, gross. I hate that.
And it was like,
no, thank you.
Oh my gosh. It was like talking to me like a real person. Like, I thought I was listening to the radio for a second because I was like, what is going on? Isn't my phone working? Isn't it plugged in? And it was like, hey, I'm your Spotify DJ. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. Like, just like a DJ would. I was like, what is this?
It's getting crazy. We were on, my buddy was on the Snapchat AI the other day.
Oh boy.
And he's like planning his wedding, and it was like planning his wedding for him.
No way, really?
Like, when's the best time to have a wedding? And it was like, I got you, bro. Like, it was actually like trying to be human, you know? It wasn't trying to talk like a computer.
I hate it.
It even started like, the way he typed in the question, it started mimicking how he was typing it.
Whoa.
To make it seem like it was more like a connection there. It was crazy. And it was actually really good answers.
No glue pizza?
No glue pizza.
We're okay. Blurring the lines a little bit, but I was kind of, I was like, I guess I'm getting older because I was impressed by the technology, but what else happened? Oh, I regressed into 2007 or 8 or whenever it was, and I watched Repo, the Genetic Opera, for the first time in over a decade. That was an experience.
I don't know about it.
It's okay that you don't know about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking back to those days of my life, and I was like, at one point in time, I thought that was a super cool, edgy movie. And then I'm watching it with Josh this past weekend, and I'm like, I had some problems I needed to work out. But we had some laughs. It was interesting. Some choices were made, and I'm like, you know what? I can see why back in those days I would have thought it was cool, but I've changed, I think, a little bit as a person, so.
I thought it was bad back in the day.
Austin wasn't fooled even then. Paris Hilton was there. It was wild.
Do y'all hear that bird?
Is there a bird in your house?
There's a bird right outside my window, and it's like, chirp, 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 and I'm like, you want to enjoy the podcast?
It's nature. It's beautiful.
Let him in, Austin.
It's like, fuck me, I want to have sex, fuck me.
Is that what he's saying?
I don't, what else would he be saying?
Let him in and find out.
Alex, I Googled Repo, the Generic Opera.
Generic Opera! Generic?
Is that our episode title?
Yeah.
Genetic Opera. So I thought you said generic. I thought it was a joke.
Well,
and the first thing that comes up is like a Reddit post going, WTF is the Repo Genetic Opera.
That's about it. You can sum it up in so many words. What else happened? That's really it. I'm really struggling. If I can't think of anything, then nothing interesting happened.
My week's been, I've already kind of described it, changing diapers, feeding. I've been watching, what did I watch? Superstore.
Love it. Love Superstore.
Rewatching all of Superstore. Before that, I rewatched Boy Meets World. And Topanga gives him a lot of chances.
Mm-hmm.
To watch Eric's brain slowly dissolve to mush is also a very interesting part of that show. I forgot how much, like, Corey cheats on Topanga and comes back. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I watched Boy Meets World up until they graduate high school recently. Yo, Corey's the fucking worst.
Pretty close.
I hate him.
He's very easily influenced.
And Corey and Topanga's love story is the most annoying shit I've ever seen in my life. The episode where she comes home in the rain and they're telling their telling Corey's parents, like, but we love each other. You can't separate us.
Aren't they like 15 or 16 or something?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like a Romeo and Juliet thing, and they keep talking about it like that, but then Corey finds out that they kill each other at the end, and he's like, I don't want to. It was weird. But the early episodes were great, because they were about, like, all these other characters. Like, there's one episode with Harley where he's fighting with his girlfriend, and he only has a girlfriend for one episode. But, like, Corey's like, my parents always... It's the middle of the day at school. Like, they're at lunch, and Corey's like, my parents always solve their issues. And he's like, Harley's like, they always figure it out? He goes, yeah, they're great parents. They always figure out their issues. Harley leaves school and goes to Corey's house in the middle of the day to Corey's parents.
Well, that was always the weird thing, was Harley felt like he was, like, 28 in high school.
Oh, he was. Yeah. They joke like, about like
canonically.
That.
Canonically.
Yes, they joke about that repeatedly, about him being in his seventh year of high school.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I love the parents, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I don't care about these children. Let's focus on the parents. They were so cool.
They were. Yeah.
First of all, the dads, they're both hot. They are hot. They are young. They're hip. They have it going on. They got a good relationship.
Yeah. Will, Corey doesn't match their, like lookness, you know?
No, no.
Will, Eric does.
Their random Jewish adopted child they have.
Yeah, Corey. Really. Eric makes sense. Corey doesn't.
Sorry, that was our Boy Meets World tangent.
It's like you're speaking a foreign language to me, but that's okay.
Oh, you gotta watch it. Watch that, then Malcolm in the Middle. Compare them.
We all know that I can't commit to or finish anything. Oh my God, my family called me out on that yesterday. I went to go visit my family, and they were, like, giving me shit about that. I can't remember how it came up, but something to the effect of, like, we were talking about The Boys and, like, The Expanse and, like, other sci-fi shows that I started with them and never finished. And they're like, yeah, Alex never commits to or finishes anything. I'm like, I'm so glad this is my defining personality trait now.
Was your boyfriend there with you?
He was.
When they said that?
Yes, he was. I was like, call me right out in front of him. That's great.
Oh, wow. All right.
You know what? He already knows what I'm about. He already knows this is who I am, so.
He already knows this is temporary. That's right.
You know what we are going to finish, though?
Rude.
Okay. Oh.
Austin's like, I don't comment on relationship. Austin, what?
You know what we are going to finish, though? Is Johto.
Pokemon. Oh, I don't know.
You forgot. I got one more highlight.
Oh, great. Sorry, I didn't realize you were done.
No, you're good. I was hungry, and this is basically the highlight of my week. So we were at Walmart, and I looked over in the ready-made meals, and I saw a thing of Bob Evans mashed potatoes, and it said family size, feed 7 to 9. I said challenge accepted, and ate the whole thing.
By yourself?
Yeah, I think those things are a lie.
Yes.
In one sitting.
Yes, they're so good. You guys had Bob Evans instant mashed potatoes? Yes.
Oh, that's good shit.
They're so good.
7 to 9? Those things aren't that big. That's a damn lie.
It's got to be a lie.
Alex, you said we had a Instagram message?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so are we pivoting?
Yeah, we can go and pivot.
Pivot.
I mean, we could discuss potatoes for 2 hours.
Just but... like the mashed potatoes, let's make an instant transition.
Ah.
And let's feed our 7 to 9 listeners.
Okay, perfect.
Hey, now, we've gone past 7 to 9 listeners.
Okay, sorry.
I can confidently say that now.
Okay, so...
not much more, but...
Tell your friends. So we have a message. I think, was the last episode... Austin, when did we talk about Cyndaquil? When was the gym battle? Oh, that was the gym battle.
The Steelix gym battle.
So that was last week's episode, Nerves of Steelix. So we got a message from one of our followers on Instagram from our friend Liam. And I guess this is in response to our latest episode where Cyndaquil was digging around in the battlefield. And I think we were commenting on the cave-in. Like, how was he not more hurt by the rocks or some such? I think, Austin, you were commenting. Liam says Cyndaquil is a hedgehog, so it's plausible he dug his way out of the fallen-in caves. And I guess I did not make the connection that he is a hedgehog-adjacent creature, so I guess it could make sense.
Y'all, I'm going to be honest, I did not realize... I'm going to be Onyx. I did not realize that hedgehogs can dig.
Can hedgehogs...
I did not realize Cyndaquil was a hedgehog.
They gotta go fast.
I think I associate hedgehogs with more with Sonic the Hedgehog than actual living hedgehogs.
Collecting rings, running...
I'm going to look up
defeating
hedgehogs.
Dr. Eggman.
Can hedgehogs dig? Let's see. According to the first thing that comes up on Google, yes, hedgehogs can dig. They have quite...
Don't doubt Liam's knowledge of hedgehogs.
No, I was just reinforcing Liam's statement that they have quite strong five-toed front feet.
Oh, is that what Google AI says?
That's according to a website called homeandroost.co.uk.
Mm. I like hedgehogs.
They're cute.
They're illegal to own, which sucks, but...
They're illegal to own?
I looked into it.
Is the reasoning for that they can escape?
Yeah, I think they wreak havoc on populations, maybe. Right. Maybe they're... I don't know.
They're so cute, though. My gosh.
They are super cute.
Look at their little faces.
It's like an anteater nose on a small body.
Is that what Cyndaquils are supposed to be, I guess? Hedgehogs?
It makes sense. Looking at it now, I'm like, I never made that connection, but I'm...
Let's see what Bulbapedia has to say about this.
Bulbapedia is going to say Cyndaquil is based on, like, robots or something.
It's based on Repo, the generic opera.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I got it. It's a porcupine, echidna?
Echidna. That's more Knuckles.
That's what Knuckles is.
Dang, I can't read it all. Hedgehog.
Baby porcupines. What's a tenrec?
I've heard of that before.
A tenrec.
What's an echidna?
Resembling, okay, they're a creature that resembles a hedgehog, shrew, opossum, rat, mice.
Okay, I've seen an echidna before. That's cool.
This is saying that Cyndaquil is based on the Chinese mythological creature named Himizumi.
Sure.
The same as Cyndaquil's species name in Japanese, which is a fire mouse that lives in volcanoes.
I clicked on the link to the Himizumi article, and it's entirely in Japanese.
Luckily, Google AI can translate that for you.
Well, it's not wanting to translate.
You know what?
What?
I like Liam's theory that it's a hedgehog better.
I'll subscribe to that. Thank you, Liam, for the feedback.
Yep, comment more on the Instagram. That's a good way to get in touch.
I thank you for messaging me over there because I need to be better about engaging with the platform.
Alex is a true ambassador for Instagram. Just like our main Pokemon this week, Bulbasaur.
Hey, Jacob, I'm so glad you're back with the transitions.
Yeah, we gave up.
We didn't even try. What are you talking
you
about?
You gave up. I guess transitions were not included, like Espeon. Like this week. So I actually remember the randomizer.
At least one of us did, Austin.
I've been very derelict with the randomizer.
Okay. Well, it has talked to us this week. Alex, you're summarizing. I get to do Bulbasaur the Ambassador. These episodes I don't think were that great. Espeon not included is Austin.
All right.
Yeah. Well, okay. Did I miss any major events while I was gone with these episodes?
Yes, you did.
Did we get a badge?
Okay, what happened?
We need to previously summarize.
Previously on Pokemon series. We spent a couple episodes at the World Cup.
Did we win?
Some water type. What?
Did we win?
No, we did not.
We didn't even get close, my friend.
No, oh, wow. We did miserable. In fact, they lie about how well they did in this episode.
I don't remember that, but okay.
Okay, so the World Cup happened, and then we spent like 3 or 4 episodes on Lugia.
Really? Did the game just come out? Is that why?
Well, I think they're in the area Lugia lives in the game.
Oh, okay.
Lugia lives in the War Islands.
Yeah.
There was a Team Rocket plot. Butch and Cassidy were there, and they lived in an underwater aqua base.
Okay.
And we met Professor Namba for the first time, and he was insane and delightful.
Operation Great Big Lugia.
He had Operation Great Big Lugia, and they wanted to feel the rage of Lugia's power, so they tried to kidnap it. But thankfully, Richie was there. And Richie teamed up with our twerps, and they got kidnapped, and they saved the day, and they saved the Lugias, who went to go live far away from Team Rocket. What else happened, Alex? Oh, and then we fought Jasmine and got a badge.
Yeah. Oh, we gloss over that part. Yeah. Jasmine was there and we got a badge.
Okay. What badge was that? What is she?
Mineral badge.
Mineral. Oh, the Steelix, Nerves of Steelix episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. So we caught Lugia, beat a gym, and won the World Cup. Awesome.
Yep.
Sounds like a blast. Are we almost out of this area?
Johto?
Yeah.
I mean, we got at least 27 more podcasts to go.
All right. Sounds fun. All right, Alex, who wants to time her to start the summary challenge?
Oh, boy.
I guess it can be me. Thanks for helping, Austin.
I'm doing it.
All right, Alex, let me get to a nice, round, even...
Nope, I got it.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Jacob was questioning my ability to use a stopwatch. Okay, Alex, get ready in 3, 2, 1, go.
Ash and Brands are mowed down by some runaway milk cartons. So, as an apology, Carter the milkman says, "Here, take this fucking blimp to Moo Moo Farms, because I don't know why we can't just drive." Meanwhile, Oak's like, "Hey, I need Bulbasaur to solve a turf war between some gangs of Pokemon." So he steals Ash's Bulbasaur, and Bulbasaur has to take care of everything. Bulbasaur is almost crushed to death by a rock, and we get a sad montage, thinking he's dead, dead forever. And he's not, though, because he learned how to dig. And so then Bulbasaur has to stay because nobody can solve their own problems. And Ash is like, okay, great.
Good job, Alex. Yeah, when Liam was talking about Cyndaquil digging, I was like, oh, I guess Bulbasaur's some hedgehog in him too. Because that was, I guess plants have roots that allow them to dig. I don't really.
I mean, he's a bulb. You plant a bulb.
Yeah, but it doesn't dig, right?
He's got claws. He's got little feet. He can just dig his way down. Thankfully, Bulbasaur is smarter than your average Bulbasaur, so he saved his own life.
Good deal. Good job, Alex. Okay, let's hop in here.
Hop-ip.
So, like, here. Hop-ip. Like Alex said, we're on our way. Are we going to Ecruteak? Is that what you said?
We're
going
to pass through Ecruteak on the way to Mahogany.
Okay, so we're making, like, a little bypass here through Ecruteak to get to Mahogany. We all know who's waiting for us in Mahogany. We'll find out in about 30 episodes. And we meet this guy who... I watched this very quietly, and I thought those were propane tanks he was carrying.
Hank Hill is here.
Back of his cart.
And propane, like, and propane accessories.
I was like, he's about to blow everybody up. And then I looked closer, and I was like, oh, it's like those old-timey milk canisters that are from, like, World War II that they carry to the soldiers. This makes no sense.
I wish we still had that system. I wish we still had people delivering milk to our doors every day. How amazing would that be?
That would be so amazing. Can we bring that back? I'm really sick and tired of having to go to the store for milk.
Right. Well, I mean, I know the whole thing with the milkman is, like, the lonely housewife and the milkman.
I just want somebody to bring me free milk, man. Like, I mean...
I don't want to have sex with a milkman, unless he's cute.
You just put your...
If it's the dad from Boy Meets World, I will have sex with him.
Fair enough.
I don't know. You know, the relationship with the milkman, you gotta milk it for all it's worth.
Ew.
Challenge accepted.
It seems like a good system, though. You just drink the milk over the week or whatever, and then you put your empty can out, and then they give you a fresh one, and then rinse and repeat. Like, seemed fine to me.
Yeah, it seemed like it was working. You remember that old Goofy episode when he's, like, getting ready? There's an old Goofy episode where he gets ready in the morning, and, like, he's with his wife and kid, and he, like, grabs the milk, and he opens the door, and the milkman kisses him.
I do not remember that.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's actually Goofy's kid's father. Because it looks like the milkman.
Max is not the child of Goofy.
No, it's the milkman's. Because the milkman looks just like... It's like basically an older... I don't know if Max is his kid in that episode. But
okay.
Google like Goofy milkman. See if that comes up anything. I'm about like on to. YouTube.
Oh, that's where that gif comes from.
Yeah, yeah. He is not the father, as Maury would say.
Oh, this child is not Max. That looks nothing like Max. That may not
be. Oh, he's actually the redheaded kid. I do remember this.
Yeah, it's like 7 seconds long.
He goes to answer the door, and the milkman kisses him. <face. laughs> And the face. Oh, poor Goofy, getting run around on. Oh, okay.
Need a test done there, right?
What a reference. I forgot all about that, Jacob. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why they don't have milkman anymore.
Mm.
Which, I don't know if this guy's really a milkman. He's kind of just a transporter of milk.
Dairy farmer? Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a blimp.
His name, we follow him back to his truck after we help him load these, like, we carry these, like, 100-pound milk cans up to his truck like it's nothing. Turns out his name's Carter Milkington, and he has a blimp, believe it or not, that he's going to take us on.
Y'all, okay, stop. I need to put the brakes on. I need to talk about this blimp. Can we talk about the blimp and the logistics of the blimp?
Wait, the logistics of it or the fact that Team Rocket gets on it after they almost got murdered
just
on the blimp?
Just everything. I have several questions. Okay, one, he pulls up in a truck. So he already has a mode of transportation, and they're not that far away from Ecruteak. So I thought he was going to be like, hey, just hop in the back of my truck. I'll give you a ride over to Ecruteak.
That would have been normal and realistic.
Exactly.
And like, oh, we're just going to drive there. Okay, great.
That's what I thought. But then they introduced this like unknown element of the blimp. He's like, okay, instead of me just driving you straight to your destination and dropping you off, he has to take them to an airfield where he gets blimp tickets to put him on a blimp to go to the Moo Moo Farm. Like, I don't understand.
That's the only way to get to the Moo Moo Farm is through blimp.
Can somebody explain? Did I miss something?
That was really weird. It was so bizarre.
Wouldn't the blimp, like, the whole process of getting on the blimp and, like, waiting for the blimp to, like, air up and fly away, like, wouldn't that take several hours? Wouldn't it just be easier to get in the car?
I guess we discovered one of those taxi blimps that exist.
The expedient taxi blimp.
Remember, a car is run off gas. This blimp is off nuclear energy, so it's cleaner. Maybe that's why we take it.
Can you imagine if you ordered an Uber and a goddamn blimp descends from the sky? Like, your Uber is here.
That would be amazing. I'm not going to lie.
It's like that story. I think it was in Ohio where this family kept saying they were not getting their groceries from Walmart Plus, and it turned out their neighbor was shooting down the drones that was delivering the groceries to them.
I thought that wasn't a thing yet. The drones didn't actually come to be.
No, it's a thing. It's here.
Oh, boy.
Select areas.
Anything else to say about that blimp?
I'm just confused.
Why was this necessary?
It really served no purpose. And then, honestly, we get to the farm, which I'm like, why did they have to take them to the farm? Why couldn't the blimp just goddamn drop them off in Eckerty? Like, I don't understand.
I think the logic has to be Carter Milkington was dropping off empty milk canisters in Olivine City after kissing Goofy. Mm-hmm. And then he was driving back. He's driving his pickup in the empty canisters to the blimp that would transport him to the farm.
Wait.
Yes.
Okay, wait. I'm confusing me more because he has a truck when he meets the twerps. Then he's like, I'm going to drive you to the airfield so you can get on the blimp. But then does that mean that Carter gets on the blimp with them, and then when they land, he has another truck? Because we see him getting into another truck. So did he follow them in the truck, or did he have another truck?
I assumed he was transporting his truck via blimp.
He put the truck on the blimp?
A normal thing to do, yes.
What?
I didn't think about this much, that much.
How could you not think of anything else, Jacob?
Welcome back to Out of the Dry Man, Jacob.
This was all-consuming for me. I couldn't think of anything else.
I think it makes it more fun. They had to do it because it makes more fun than, like, them squeezing into a truck and, like, driving in silence for an hour.
I think the real reason they couldn't just take a truck is because Team Rocket also needs to keep pace with the twerps.
Yeah, exactly.
And so Team Rocket has to be with them at all times.
Dude, Team Rocket should have been one of the milk canisters. Like, they zoom in on the milk and they're like in the three and they're just shoved in there.
That'd make sense. That'd be way better.
I mean,
that would have been awesome.
This is honestly an easily solved problem. I mean, they could have just drawn the truck a little bigger and Ash and the friends could have gotten into the cab and Jesse and James could have just ridden in the back. Like, that's not very hard to come up with, but sure, the blimp thing.
So are we passing over the fact that this blimp has a walk-in freezer?
That's what, okay, first of all, Team Rocket gets on this thing, which makes no sense to me, because remember the last time they got on a blimp, they were murdered, almost, like their boss tried to murder them?
2 episodes ago, we had a remake of that blimp episode, but with a seaplane.
And they almost fell through the floor in that one, too, and died.
Yeah, so somebody's trying to kill them, and yet they openly get on this blimp thing, and the freezer, which, I guess it was hot in the cargo bay, so they had to go chill out. Which, what was in the freezer? Was the milk on the freezer?
Food, it said, right?
You don't put milk in a freezer.
No.
It makes no sense.
This was like one of those fancy blimps, like the Kecleon were on, and like they had like a catered restaurant on the blimp.
No, Austin, this is your run-of-the-mill food delivery service blimp. Get with
That's
the program.
That's what makes me think that this is like the only way to get food or supplies to where they're going is through the air. They make it seem like, you know, it's like one of those remote islands where people live.
They're on the mainland.
I thought the carrier pigeons went to the remote islands.
I have no idea. I'm trying to make sense of this.
We are obsessed with blimps.
This episode,
it's cool.
Writing team is obsessed with blimps. All we can do is report on what we see, and there's blimps all over the place. So
yeah, and the sad thing is, this has nothing to do with the episode because
no, like, this is like the most background element.
Yeah, this is such a minute point of the episode. Like, the actual point of the episode is they land. Carter Milkington abandons them. Turns out he's not actually a milkman. He's a drug runner. And no, that's not true. But he kind of leaves them alone. Ash misses home. He calls. Mr. Mime answers. And then it turns out there's like a turf war going on. Yes, Alex.
I'm just so sad. I feel like Carter Milkington went the way of what was his name?
Daniel Foreman?
No, Mr. Douglas. And his tractor, he's gone away. Never to be seen again. I'm so upset.
He was Mr. Douglas's son.
He was. We could have had, Jacob, like you
said. His many sons.
I think we could have had a way more interesting episode with Carter Milkington and, like, Mr. Douglas could have shown back up and stuff. But instead, we had to have this stupid bullshit episode that we end up having. But
I can't believe you two didn't like this episode.
I'm sad because I don't want to spoil it too soon. but a beloved character goes away.
I got to talk about Ash Calling Home.
Ash Coming Home?
Ash Calling Home.
Oh, Ash Calling Home.
I specifically have to handle this. Ash calls Professor Oak. No one answers, so he's talking to an empty room for a while. Then Mimey appears on the screen. Is like, Mime! Ash is like, Mimey? So then Delia appears, of course, and Ash is like, Mom, what are you doing at Professor Oak's lab? And Delia does not answer. And she simply says, there's a situation happening here with the Pokemon. And I'm like, Delia, that's not like the ass. And then Oak and Tracy come on the screen.
Ugh, together. Ugh.
Every time this happens, this is the same pattern, right? She never answers his question directly, and we're left to wonder, what's going on there?
Hilarious. I love it.
It's like Goofy and the Milkman.
I don't like how Tracy's there now. I feel like he's really...
Well, you gotta have someone to draw what's going on.
That's true.
Oh, God.
You wanna relive what's going on, you gotta have someone draw it, you know? That's how Tracy's making his living. He's selling erotic pictures.
Chronicling their threesome.
A threesome with Mimey?
Yeah. Why else was Mimey there? Make it make
to
sense.
Act it out.
Yeah.
But like I said, nobody knows what's going on. There's turf war going on at Oak's 100-acre farm. And he can't get a hold of it. And so in his infinite wisdom, he decides to call on Bulbasaur, which is known for diplomatic negotiation like Jedi are. Why is this is just a Bulbasaur episode, right? There's no reason for Bulbasaur to be here.
I guess.
This is a how do we write out Bulbasaur episode.
Yes.
This is basically, the best they can come up with. I think they should have left Bulbasaur on the blimp. He could have become like a blimp co-captain or something for Carter Milkington.
I thought he was going to become like a milk wrangler. Like he goes out with Carter. They get out of line and he vine whips their neck. He can like milk two cows at once with his vines.
Whoa. I'm
trying to justify this here. Speaking of milking, Bulbasaur does come back, and the first thing we see is Heracross.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
And it's not necessarily the fact that you see it. It's more of that you hear it, and I forgot that we actually hear it, and that's not cool.
It was a lot more graphic than I remembered it being.
There was a lot of slurping noises, wasn't there?
And Tracy and Oak, they get hilarious because crazy shit happens at the Oak Ranch.
I like how we're witnessing, like... a sexual assault, and Oak and Tracy just stand by and laugh about it.
What else would you expect from Tracy and Oak?
Nothing.
Exactly. Because that's fitting for the episode. Because it turns out all the Pokemon are fighting each other based on their type. Like, water's fighting grass, there's flying insects fighting. And instead of kind of, like, helping Bulbasaur, they just kind of throw Bulbasaur out there and stand by and watch as it all happens. Like, they start fighting each other, and Tracy and Oak are just sitting there looking at it, and Tracy's, like, videoing it. Oh, he had a camera. From earlier. This time he's not drawing. This is sick. This actually adds more elements to it. I forgot he had a camera.
Okay. I was actually really proud of Tracy. I was like, oh, Tracy, he stopped sketching things. He started using a camcorder to make observations of Pokemon behavior.
Not true.
I was so glad Tracy had finally gotten rid of his black and white sketches bullshit. And then as soon as he pulls up that camcorder, he puts it on a tripod on the ground and is like, I gotta sketch this, and starts drawing on the next to the camcorder. I'm like, God damn it, Tracy.
You can take the Tracy out of the sketch pad, but you can't take the sketch pad out of the Tracy.
Well, it's also really sick, because now we know what that camcorder is really for.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You know.
That's why he had it on hand.
Yeah, from earlier. Ugh. That's the reason why I couldn't get the tripod undone. It was all stuck together.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so it seems like, if I remember correctly, our main objective here is to build, like, a lake or some kind of reservoir. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems like the lake was currently overpopulated, so they needed a second one because it was causing conflict.
So why did they need Bulbasaur to figure that out for them? Why couldn't Oak just be like, you know what? There's an overpopulation problem, so we better just have a runoff area where the rest of the Pokemon could go. It doesn't take a genius, does it? I mean...
Not really. And also, we don't really know what the Pokemon are saying. They talk to each other a lot. We don't get the subtitle thing, which we don't really ever get. But you kind of have to come to your own conclusion about what's going on and what's needed and how are we going to solve this. Oak and Tracy aren't really doing anything to help. Nothing's getting done, except for that with Bulbasaur. And Bulbasaur, first he wins like the grass types over. And they take this field and they kind of clear it where it's like barren. But the main issue he's having is getting Poliwhirl and the water Pokemon to get on board to kind of like help dig and fill up the water basin. After a while, he eventually gets them to agree to help. I can't remember exactly what he does to help them agree. I guess he just uses his diplomacy
He just says Bulbasaur, 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 and that his words of wisdom reach their ears.
Well, doesn't he threaten them with bodily harm? Because he does, like, a solar beam, and he's like, if you don't fall in line...
I thought that was to calm him down.
Something like that.
It may have been a threat. It was like shooting a gun off and get everybody's attention. It's kind of what he does there.
Yeah.
Christ almighty, Bulbasaur.
Well, he had to... I mean, nobody would listen. It's hell on earth there. He's got to do something. Everybody agrees to help. So we start digging along, and the blimp's out of the equation. We're no longer on Ash, the blimp. They're out of here. We're just focused on this little, what's going on here. Everyone starts to help, and eventually, you know, they're Pokemon. They're not engineers. They don't know how to dig or know anything about landslides or anything like that. So they get the basin dug. Bulbasaur's still in there. They start filling it up, and all of a sudden the edge is getting muddy. Sand or dirt collapses on Bulbasaur, and Bulbasaur, unfortunately, it's over.
I mean, I'll give Bulbasaur this. He was trying to heroically save a young Oddish who fell in.
There was a big rock, right? They came across a big rock that they had to dig out. It was like a 10-ton rock. And they stupidly leave the rock on the mushy edge of the lake, which they should have, like, pushed it off farther and not left it right on the end.
I don't know why the rock couldn't just stay in the lake, but whatever.
Yeah, you think you need that for fish and cover? Like, fish like trees and rocks in the water?
Wasn't the rock covering up the spring part itself?
Oh, is that what it was?
Oh, okay, that's right, to get the water in there.
The rock had to go first, and then while they were celebrating, like, the spring bubbling up, the ground got too soft because the water was filling up, and that's when it collapsed.
It collapses on Bulbasaur, and then it really seems like he's done.
They straight up tell us Bulbasaur is dead.
Yes, they do, because it's like, I can't remember what, it's like a very touchy song, and it's like right when Ash met Bulbasaur, and it goes through Bulbasaur's timeline, all the four highlights Bulbasaur's had over the 100-something episodes, it touches on those pretty deep. But it's all for naught, because Bulbasaur lives, like he pops out of the ground. I mean, whatever, Oak and Tracy are like, oh, we're relieved, every the Pokemon seem relieved, Bulbasaur seems to have solved all the issues, and he's such a great negotiator that Oak and Tracy ask Ash if Bulbasaur can stay there forever and ever and ever.
This is a lot to put on one Pokemon.
He's basically like the ringleader now. You know, he's the boss. And, you know, Ash, of course, is like, you can have him. That's fine. I don't need him.
He's got Bayleaf.
He's got Bayleaf. He's got a better Bulbasaur.
I mean, Bulbasaur had to go. Would we prefer Bulbasaur leave in some sort of different way? Like he goes to the Bulborific Valley to train?
I wanted him to go, like Jacob said, with Carter Milkington or whatever. That would have been more exciting.
Yeah, the only benefit he has going back to Oak is, like, they put, like, a safety there that if they need him in future episodes, they got him like that. You know, that's the only benefit of them going to Oak. It's like, oh, we need to get Bulbasaur back for writing purposes for episodes, and it's right there. That's the only reason why.
It's easier for Bulbasaur to pop in than it is for, like, Squirtle to have Officer Ginny drive him over there.
Yeah, they could. They obviously very could easily make it where circumstances led to that, but this is just easier. It makes more sense. That's the only reason why he goes back there, because I imagine he's going to be in future episodes to some degree. Right, Austin?
Correct. We see Bulbasaur again.
All right. This is not goodbye. Whatever the sentimental music has you going or believing, it's not true.
That was really intense, though. I think that was probably one of the more intense moments. Like, more intense than, like, any implied human death. They really drug out that whole fading to gray, you know, the music cues, the...
What about Ash waking up from his
slumber? Oh my god, I forgot
about that. Like, he felt him die. Like...
From, like, miles away, he's like, Bulbasaur.
He was like, huh? Like, Misty and Brock are sleeping under a tree, and they're just resting there, and he's like, he senses it through the force. He's like, oh my god, something's wrong.
Aura, please. Ash uses Aura.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. I thought that was a Lucario thing.
I thought this was going to be the Celebi episode where Bulbasaur dies, but Ash goes back in time to save him.
That's a better episode.
Wow.
But yeah, so Ash, of course, you know, after he feels his Aura reattach, wakes up, calls Oak, and then Oak is like, yeah, we're going to keep him here. And Ash is like, okay. And he looks up in the sky and is happy. The blimp does wind up crashing with a frozen Team Rocket inside them, so that's kind of sad. And it turns out the milk was propane tanks at the end, so it just all goes up in a flame.
R.I.P.
That's the episode. But we lose Bulbasaur this episode. That's it. That's what happens.
That's okay. It's been a long time coming.
We knew it was happening.
Yeah, Bulbasaur, you've had your time to shine.
Yeah, he stayed on a lot longer than I thought. Well, that's Bulbasaur the Ambassador.
It's actually Bulbasaur the Ambassador.
Weren't you waiting for that, Austin? You're like, let's see how Veronica Taylor reads out the title card.
I remember that, because I remember thinking that was silly. Bulbasaur, and yes, that is the title.
The Ambassador.
You guys didn't like this episode?
It was
okay.
It was disjointed. It was interesting. I still don't understand the blimp thing. That was
no, the blimp,
questions.
Put the blimp aside.
I like the blimp more than I like the episode.
That was, yeah, I agree. I think the episode had it was one of those like branching timeline moments where it's like we could have had an episode with a blimp, or we could have had an episode with Oak and Tracy, and we got the worst of the timelines. We got Oak and Tracy, so.
I mean, okay, y'all, stop me if I'm wrong. Is this the first time we've ever gotten an episode that was not focused on the twerps, not focused on Team Rocket? It was focused on the supporting cast.
Is it the first time? Crew.
Well, you have the Santa episode.
The what episode?
No, that was Twerps and Team Rocket, because Jesse.
Don't we have a Team Rocket episode? Oh, does that count as main cast?
I'm including Team Rocket as main cast.
Okay.
I guess you're right, Austin. I really can't think of another.
I don't know.
I thought there was one where, like, there's that trainer that trains a Pokemon, and it kind of is more about them. I don't know.
You're going to be more specific than that.
I can't be. I forget them all. They're all blurs to me. I guess so.
It wasn't the twerps helping the situation. It was something else that's happening elsewhere.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I thought that was interesting. This kind of feels like a backdoor pilot for the Pokemon Chronicles episodes we'll get before too long to me. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it is. I was hoping Tracy would come back.
You were? You were hoping that?
Tracy, like, he becomes the narrator, and he, like, just films everything they do. It turns out he's in the milk cans. What could have been? But what is we have a most viable player, a least viable player, and a quote. Austin, you're going first, followed by Alex, and then me.
I'm going to give my MVP to Old Man Scyther before either of you two can.
Oh, my God! Ah. I can't believe that. I was saving it, Austin. No.
Jacob, were you doing the same thing?
I was thinking about it. I knew I wasn't first, so I wasn't going to get it.
Oh.
Yes, Old Man Scyther is mine. I've claimed him. He didn't really do much, but he did make an appearance.
He came out of his Pokeball, and that was a lot for him.
We got confirmation he still has not passed away.
Thank God. So happy.
So, LVP... I'll give it to the blimp for being so distracting. What was that?
Somebody really loves blimps. Can I have, like, is there, like, a behind the scenes that, like, a blog or something? Is there something that can explain to us, like, why there's so many blimps?
My quote, and I always pick these kind of quotes because I think they're funny. Ash says, "What do you think, Bulbasaur?" Bulbasaur says, "Bulba, Bulbasaur." And Ash says, "Really? All right, then." I always think those are fun.
What did he say, I wonder?
Moments like that make that episode with the Pokemon Whisperer so stupid.
What was his name? Like Steve or something? No, Simon. It was Simon.
Oh, Simon, yes.
Not Steve, sorry.
Steve.
I don't know.
All right, that's it for me.
I'm going to give my MVP to that one Gloom that was so shocked that it opened its eyes up. I took a picture of it because I thought it was so funny. What was the part that like shocked him? Was it after the solar beam? Was it that?
I think so.
My LVP, I'm going to give it to Oak because he couldn't think of these simple solutions all by himself. And Delia was a real one. We didn't really talk about Delia very much, but I think at one point she's like, no, you know, Tracy's like, shouldn't we step in and do something? And Delia was the one who was like, no, we got to let the Pokemon work out their differences. But I'm giving my LVP to Oak because even with this life lesson that we're supposed to learn, like you got to solve your own problems and whatnot. He still, at the end, basically steals Bulbasaur away from Ash and continues to let Bulbasaur have to work out these petty squabbles, like the Hoppip and the Gloom that can't, like, split an apple in half. Like, Bulbasaur has to come and split it in half for them. I just think he's using Bulbasaur as a workhorse because he doesn't want to do the work himself.
Oak needs a babysitter.
I hope Bulbasaur's getting paid.
No, you know he's not.
Paid in room and board, I guess.
He's paid with the freaky shows he gets to see every night.
That's the real reason they wanted him. They needed some whips.
Oh my God.
When the labs are rocking, don't come a knocking.
I was going to give the quote to that one part, but Austin already said it. Like Ash, when he's like, what are you two doing at Oak's lab?
I mean, you can still do it.
That's right. I'm going to do the Jesse and James Meowth one where they're in the ice freezer and they're frozen solid into like an icicle. And Jesse says, let's make a break for it. And James says, I'm trapped in this cubicle. And Meowth says, I'm feeling most isolated. And then they die in the explosion.
Right before they pass away.
Yeah.
I want to make some assumptions with my MVP, LVP, and quote. I'm going to give my MVP to Tracy for selling content to Popular Pokemon Magazine X Edition. You know, he's probably submits the films and drawings. It's like that old, Hustler Digest, whatever people write in the stories.
Oh my God. Dear Penthouse.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're having sex with an amputee. Seinfeld quote there. I'm going to give my LVP to both Dillian and Oak for not realizing they're being exploited.
Are they? I think they're willing participants.
They might be. That's not really happening there. I'm sticking to my LVP to... Who'd you give it to, Alex? Oak?
Oak.
Dang it.
Give it to Heracross. Give it to Heracross. No, nobody called out Heracross.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Heracross. I'll give it to Heracross for being disgusting. Yeah, learn some manners. That really sucks for Bulbasaur, but that's going to keep happening every time he sees Heracross.
Poor Bulbasaur. He has to live his whole life dealing with these hop-ips, being assaulted by Heracross every day.
Yeah, this sounds like hell.
Going on with whatever the fuck is going on with the humans in their camcorder. Like, poor Bulbasaur.
Can I add to my sucks. LVP for that? For the fact that Oak just watched Heracross assault Bulbasaur and didn't help rescue him or save him or advocate for him in any way. And, like, the good point you just made was that this means a lifetime of having to endure that, and Oak is going to be an enabler.
He just experiments on the Pokemon. He doesn't, like, do anything else. It's weird.
Remember the time that he had a bunch of wires hooked into a Magikarp?
Oh my god.
It's true.
Classic.
That poor thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's friends with Bill, too, who, like, wants to become a Pokemon, which is also weird. And my quote comes from Team Rocket, again, of course, and it's from Meowth, and Jamie goes, "I'm so cold, I can't feel my toes." And then Meowth goes, "I'm so cold, I wish I wore clothes." And that's the Ambassador episode. Bye-bye, Bulbasaur. But they should have called it that. But this next episode, speaking of coming back, we got some friends who, I remember where these people are from, but they're here, and Alex is going to tell us about it in the summary.
You ready, Alex? In 3, right. 2, 1, go.
Misty gets an email from their old acquaintance Sakura, the youngest of the Kimono girls, if you remember back that far. Her Eevee's evolved into an Espeon. Team Rocket tries to steal all the sisters' Pokemon, and they almost get away with it, too. If it wasn't for that meddling girl and her Espeon, Misty and her battle as a dynamic duo and blast Team Rocket off again. And Misty still tries to get her girl crush to travel with them. She just loves Sakura, but Sakura's like, "No, girl, get away from me. I've got to do my own thing." And then she leaves to have her own journey.
Time. All right, this is going to be a quick one, because this is a pretty basic episode.
Not a lot
happening. Like Bulbasaur.
We've seen this one before with the Kimono girls, except in this time they don't walk around the compound for very long.
Was the last one with their dad? Did they have their dad?
No, they didn't have a dad.
Okay.
You don't remember these girls? They're in the game, Jacob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Jacob's like, "Yeah, sure."
Sure.
Want to give a recap, Austin, of the older episode, the first one, the girls and their evolutions or whatever.
Oh, is this where they train people? Where they walk in and train them?
Yes, the tea ceremony.
Okay. Yes, I remember this one now. They, like, put you in a group. What, like, are you the battler? Yeah, I got it.
No, that was a different one. That was.
Oh, dang it, I don't got it.
Was that him on top?
I was going to say.
Was that Scizor? I can't remember.
So, yes. The last time we saw these girls, they were hosting something, some kind of event, right?
Oh my god, it was the Aridos episode. Sorry, go on.
No, I'm really trying to remember. Help me out here. They show up to the compound, and they're like, they teach, like, what, like flower arranging and different little classes and stuff, right?
Yeah, like a turn the tea 90 degrees that way kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this isn't where they put them in a colored group, like blue, red, and yellow?
No, that was the Aridos episode.
Oh, okay. I'm totally lost here. All right.
Tea ceremony girls. That fake like beautician class that they tried to put Misty in for like the one time only, and it was sexist, and we talked about it.
I'm still pissed off on her behalf.
I know. No, I don't really know. I don't want to take over your episode. I was just saying, like, these are those girls, and they all had an evolution except for that one, the youngest sister, but I guess her thing has evolved since then.
I guess the big thing with that episode was she wanted to join the twerps.
But she didn't really, because she flaked out at the end.
And Misty was, like, all about it, and then her older sisters were like, "You have to battle us to get her to leave with you." But then eventually Sakura was like, no, I'm not ready yet.
Well, she flaked out then, and she flaked out this time.
She's such a flake.
Yeah.
Frosted flake.
They're more than good.
They're great. Can we talk about the Tony the Tiger and the furry fandom and how people are in love with Tony the Tiger?
Okay, Alex, go ahead. Tell us more.
That's literally all I know.
Tell us about this group you're not involved with.
I'm not involved. I don't know anything beyond that. I just know that apparently there's like a whole internet thing about Tony the Tiger, and that's all I know.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So Tony the Tiger is not here, but the twerps are here, And they are waiting to meet Sakura, who is Misty's best friend, who she emails on the regular.
Worlds collide.
And she shows up, and her Eevee, thank God, has evolved into an Espeon. Because I don't know if you all remember, but I was really pissed she did not have an Espeon last time we saw her. So, contrary to the episode title, Espeon is included this time.
Did we ever figure out that reference? The only thing we could think of was batteries not included.
I think it's just Team Rocket doesn't catch the Espeon.
Oh.
Sakura's here. Misty and Sakura have a battle of Rocky versus Espeon. The older Kimono girls are going to go meet their favorite teacher, who's giving a one-day special lecture on Pokemon dancing. Surprise, surprise, these girls are not very smart. Yes, Alex?
I'm sorry, I just have to ask. This is something that they advertise as, like, this is their all-time favorite dance instructor of all time. So wouldn't they know who this person is, what they look like? How are they bamboozled by this?
It's like Austin. Austin got scammed at the Sip and Dip.
Sip and Dip?
I did get scammed at the Sip and Dip.
So, it happens.
Okay. They saw a Facebook ad, and they were like, ooh, that was cool.
That looks cool.
That's a little bit overzealous to say that they're your favorite of all time if you don't know jack shit about them, right? I mean...
Jesse and James are doing a dance with Arbok and Victory Bell, and they're killing it, to be honest. They're all doing a great job of it, I would say.
They're selling it really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I would take dance lessons for them.
The Kimono girls try with their various Eeveelutions. And all the Eeveelutions have a kind of hilarious responses where they kind of act like a dog or a cat watching you make a fool of yourself. Team Rocket's like, oh, well, come bring your little Pokemon into this room and we'll teach them how to dance. So the Kimono girl will say, okay, go on, little Pokemon, go with these strangers, our favorite dancer troupe. They do, of course, even though the Jolteon is very suspicious of all this.
Jolteon's got it locked down. Mm. He's the only one who's, like, asking questions.
Jolteon's the one who can see the future, not Espeon. Surprise, surprise, they all end up in a cage. Team Rocket takes off the Meowth balloon. The Kimono girls are like, this doesn't seem familiar at all. Who are you people? They then run back to the tea ceremony compound and tell Sakura Team Rocket took their Pokemon. And Sakura's like, well, we gotta go save them. And the Kimono girls are like, what? You, Sakura? What are you gonna do?
This is what she lives with. She chose that over going with the twerps. Let's just reiterate that.
So Sakura, in conjunction with Brock and one of the Kimono girls, comes up with the plan of having Espeon sit in a field and nap until Team Rocket comes to get it, because they realize that they neglected to get the Espeon, and Jessie's all a tiff about it, because she needs a complete set.
Why are they not worth anything individually? They're only worth anything as a set?
Apparently.
Okay.
Even though it's on a complete set, because they don't have a Glaceon and a Leafeon and a Sylveon.
Yeah.
They don't know about those.
We learned that in Toy Story 2. Unless it's a complete set, it's worthless.
That's true.
Oh, I forgot that lesson.
So they're going to ship the Eeveelutions to a toy museum in Japan. Thankfully, they're already in Japan, so it won't be a very long shipment. They'll just take a blimp over there.
It'll be cheap. Yeah, it's only, you know, propane. You're going to pay for that, and that's it.
Team Rocket takes the Espeon and tries to give it some treats and a collar. But Espeon can see the future, so it knows better.
If it had known that this was going to happen, wouldn't it just know that this dance instructor ruse was all fake and it would be like, don't go? But no.
Nope. Espeon wanted to be the only child.
Oh, okay.
Team Rocket battles with the twerps, and Sakura and Misty battle Team Rocket for a while, but then Ash can't let the girls have all the glory, so he and Pikachu blast off Team Rocket in the end.
I love how you note that, because I literally have a bullet point that says Misty and Sakura easily wipe out Team Rocket, but Ash butts in to get that kill shot at the end.
Sakura kind of hesitantly wants to ask her sisters to let her finally go on a journey, and they're like, yeah, we know, you're good. You head on out, Sakura. And Misty's like, oh my god, Sakura, join the twerps. And Sakura says, no, Misty, they can't afford to have a fourth twerp. That's silly.
Sakura knows what's up. She's like, I'm not being part of this clown show. I gotta go and do my own thing.
Yeah, she's out of here. If she's with the twerps, she has to deal with Team Rocket every day. Who wants that?
She knows what kind of life that would be.
Like the sisters kind of being mean and hostile to her, having to see Team Rocket on the daily. She weighs her options.
Or she can just go with her Espeon.
Have a nice, peaceful life.
Yep, she takes a blimp and she's out of there. Goodbye, Sakura. She's off to Violet City, presumably to fight Faulkner.
But they're going to keep in touch over AOL chat.
Yes, they are. They got each other's AIM screen names.
Mm-hmm.
Kimono Girly 5 is Sakura's, and Misty's is mermaid water princess.
I was gonna say Misty the Blisty.
Blisty.
I don't know. Tentacruel's biggest fan.
Wow. Oh God. Corsola forever.
So Sakura's gone now. Bye, Sakura.
That was thrilling. Thrilling episode.
We'll see her again at the World Cup.
We do see her again.
We do?
At the Johto Cup.
Not then.
She comes back?
It all comes full circle, Alex.
Sorry, I thought we did come full circle. Apparently not. We still have more circle.
Oh, is it Austin later? Is Bulbasaur and Sakura in the same episode?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, that would be crazy.
But Tracy's in those episodes.
Both?
Yeah, Tracy's going to meet Sakura.
What is happening? Okay. That was never a meeting I ever thought would happen, but here we are.
I'm not even joking. That's real. Okay.
Okay. Tracy coming back.
Everybody's coming back. It comes full circle.
Girl, watch out for that camcorder.
If he pulls out that pencil, just run. Just run. All right. I was trying to find my quote for the MVP, LVP, and the quote for this episode. Espeon not included. I'm going first, followed by Austin and then Alex. My MVP, I'm going to give it to Corsola. This is my first time seeing it battle. It probably has battled in the episodes I missed.
Yeah.
I figured as much, but this is my first time seeing it, and it holds up. It's got some pretty good toughness to it.
You didn't see it during its battle with Quillfish. Maybe your opinion would have been different, but...
Oh, mine's skewed. Is this like the one time it fights a weak Pokemon and it looks super tough?
It's gotten some passes, I think, where it shouldn't have.
At least it's not physically assaulting people anymore.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, it's not launching itself and cutting people's feet like it does in the actual ocean. My LVP, can I just give it to the sisters? I don't know, like it seemed like they were treating their, if I remember correctly, their Sakura a little bit better towards the end of last episode, but it seems like they've gone back to their you suck Sakura attitude.
There's a little bit of it.
It's a facade.
I would give them LVP for falling for that Facebook ad.
Yeah, LVP for that too. Yeah, for falling for that fake ad. It's like that Willy Wonka experience people paid a lot of money for, and it turned out to just be a cardboard cutout.
Oh,
that was my favorite thing ever. I love that.
That happened twice. I think Pokemon had one too. That was like that. Yeah.
What?
There was a Willy Wonka one, and then there was like another one right after that that people paid for, and it was like just cardboard cutouts. And it was like either a Nintendo or maybe a Pokemon one. I can't remember.
Okay, we're going to do more research on that for sure. Okay.
Yes, let me see. Fake experiences.
Wasn't the Willy Wonka one was in like Scotland or something, wasn't it?
Right.
I didn't hear about another one, but I'm sure it happens all the time.
It's AI images that scammed them.
I mean, honestly, how much stuff is a letdown? I mean, look at your sipping stroke thing, Austin. I mean, that was a disappointment.
There's another one that happened too. I can't remember what it was. But there's also like an Animal Crossing aquarium experience that's going on right now.
That's an official one. That's actually by Nintendo.
But it's not what you think it is.
No, of course not.
Hmm.
It looks okay.
I
kind of
want to go to that, you guys. Let's go.
I watched a YouTube video of what it was like. And I was like, I don't think I want to spend money on that.
Damn it, I would want to go. I hate having money. I just want to spend it. I just want to spend
okay.
it
on well, stupid shit. Okay. Can that be my quote for the episode? I hate having money. I just have to spend it. To all those struggling out there, we feel your pain. Yeah, we can really...
I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that would love to take that shit off your hands, Austin.
I know,
keep
right?
your money away.
Yeah, sip and stroke.
Okay, my quote. We'll find that other experience. It was like Willy Wonka, but it was like same thing AI generated. My quote comes from James, and it says, all those late nights dancing with Arbok and Victory Bell really paid off. Huh, Jesse? Kind of makes you think what they're doing behind the scenes there with the Pokemon.
They're having the time of their lives. What are you talking
they
about?
They are.
I like to think the Team Rocket Pokemon are happy with their lives.
They are they very seem happy. Every Pokemon they've had looks happy. Even Weezing looked happy, and that thing looks miserable.
Aren't they always pretty sad to go?
Yeah.
I never had a moment where anybody seemed like they were like, oh my god.
I mean, Lickitung was pretty, like, we didn't really dwell on that very much, did we?
Well, Lickitung didn't stay around very much. I mean, he didn't really
no.
have a connection with Jesse or anything.
I wonder if that's the whole irony of the show, is the people who want to capture and control Pokemon actually treat their Pokemon better than Ash, who's fighting them the whole time to stop that from happening, because he treats his Pokemon like garbage. Right? That's pretty ironic.
He has his moments, yes.
Yeah.
All right, is it my go?
Yes.
My MVP is going to be Arbok for really being into that dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially when Jesse sent out Arbok again, and it was still dancing during the battle with Misty and Sakura.
He was into it.
Oh, he loved it. My LVP, I'm going to give it to Timothy / Crobat.
You're going to give LVP to Timothy?
Because he was supposed to find Team Rocket, and he was unable to do so.
Yeah, he kind of got lost. Like, Brock sent him out, and he was like, hey, tell us what you find, and then, like, ...
He was just back. He was like, find nothing.
Okay.
I got nothing.
He tried.
He tried. Can't be 100% all the time.
No.
My quote... All right, this is a quote from Jesse, but it's the kind of thing that Oak could have said. She says, either I get my espion, or you get my fist.
Whoa. Okay.
Okay. My MVP actually is going to be Ash... Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't remember another time where this happened, but Brock, or Ash is the one that gives Brock the ear pull this time around when he's getting out of control around the sisters. Brock is having multiple orgasms, heart attacks, whatever, this whole episode, and Misty's indisposed because she's fangirling over Sakura. She's busy, doesn't have time for Brock, so Ash is the one this time that pulls the ear and leads Brock away.
I looked it up on Bulbapedia.
Ooh. There's actually a list? Okay.
Okay. No, not a list of ear pulls.
Oh.
But Bulbapedia, I wish they had that. Dang. Oh my god, someone get to work on that now, please. Bulbapedia claims this is the first and only time Ash ever drags Brock by the ear.
Is it really?
Oh, wow.
Okay. Apparently.
I mean, it's Bulbapedia, so take that for what it is. I mean, he pushes Brock away sometimes.
Yeah.
But maybe this is the only time he pulls him by the ear.
He intervenes. This is the only time with the ear, I guess.
I couldn't remember a time before, and I certainly can't remember a time after, so I will believe Bulbapedia this one time. So I had to call him out and give him the MVP for that. My LVP is going to be Misty for the blatant lie that she tells.
Thank you.
Which, wait, what do you think it is? What do you think the lie is?
Oh, okay, keep going.
Oh, you're talking about the World Cup thing. This is another lie. You can tell.
Oh, shit. She lies twice in this episode.
Talk about the World Island thing afterwards. But this directly feeds into my quote. And I just had to note it because it's things that never happened for 500, Alex. But Misty says to Sakura, or Sakura says, like, oh my God, your corselet's so cool. Where did you get it? And she's like, I caught it not that long ago, but I've trained it well. And I'm like, girl, you've never trained that thing in your life. Stop lying.
It happened off camera.
Yeah, nah. So she gets LVP and the quote for that one. So, yeah, awesome. What about that stupid claim she made about coming in 8th or 16th, top 16 or whatever it was?
Yeah, she claimed she got in the top 8 of the World Cup and Ash got in the top 16. That's definitely not true. There was some debate over what their placements were. I'm pretty sure Ash was top 64 and Misty was top 32. I could be wrong.
Well, they definitely didn't get close, that's for sure.
They were not that high, for sure. Maybe Misty got top 16 and Ash got 32. I could be wrong. In fact, I think that's it. I think Misty got 16, but Misty fucking lied.
Yeah, she was hyping herself up a little bit.
All right, is that everybody?
That is, I think.
All right. What's on the menu next week, Austin?
Okay, next week we got For Ho-Oh the Bells Toll and Extreme Pokemon.
Extreme Ooh, Pokemon. Extreme
Pokemon. Sorry to rush us out here, but I got a baby to go take care of. So who, any closing thoughts here?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. It's good to be back. Glad to be back with y'all. I'm excited to continue. And of course, I'll close us out here for the first time in a while. How about that? We'd like to say thank you all for listening. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, that is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Also, we have a Twitter or X account. The handle is outofdryingpan. Again, that is Out of Drying Pan. We have an Instagram. It's Out of the Drying Pan. Alex posts all sorts of miraculous photos there. And you can comment on either the picture or something to us, and we'll read it. And last but not least, we have a Patreon, and you can find out all about that by reading the description in the podcast. And thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time as this journey continues. Use the lessons that you've learned. Your goal is to be best and claim the prize that you've earned. Ever since you were a young man, you kept your eye on the master plan to reach for the top and touch the sky. It's your destiny to spread your wings and fly. Spread your wings and learn to fly. You can do it if you really, really try. Keep moving forward to stay alive. Trust your heart and you'll survive.